I greet you in the high and holy name of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Give us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. When I was the pastor in Myrtle Beach, I had a member of my church named Irv. He was a close friend. Irv was a fighter pilot in World War II. And I remember, even 40 years after the war, if Irv and I were on the golf course together and it was even moderate temperature in the low 50s, he had to wear gloves because the nerves in his fingers had been so damaged by frostbite flying at those high altitudes. Irv told me that for most of his life, he was a lost sheep spiritually. He said, Brother Bill, I had no relationship with God. He told me that his language was filled with profanity, that he broke most of the Ten Commandments. And then one day, one wonderful day, something fantastic happened to Irv. And he wrote me a note, which I keep in a file of treasured correspondence. And the note said this: next Sunday, next Easter Sunday, will be my 5th anniversary as a born-again Christian. I'll never forget the great feeling and the peace of mind. The sermon of that day put God's arrow right through my heart. But that sermon did not cause Irv's new birth. Neither did Irv create his own new birth. But when Irv repented of his sin and trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, he placed himself in the bullseye of God's grace. And then God saved his soul and gave him new birth. The late great Bible teacher at Asbury Theological Seminary, Ellsworth Callis, has written, "Every person has a capacity and a need to be born twice. If one has not been born twice, one gradually ceases to be human." Now, our first birth is completely natural. Everybody has one of those. The second birth is the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot cause new birth, but we can place ourselves in the bullseye of God's grace. How? By repenting of our sin and trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And then the Holy Spirit becomes the obstetrician of new birth. And when it happens, our sin is forgiven, our salvation is guaranteed, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our mind and heart and begins to make new persons out of us, day by day, week by week, month by month. Now, I know that the words born again have become jaded and somewhat shop-worn. In fact, sometimes on television, it's almost a put-down to refer to somebody as a born-again Christian. But Jesus said that being born again is the required doorway into the Christian life. And the late, great Chuck Colson, founder of Prison Fellowship, said that if it were not for the experience of new birth, he would have suffocated in the stench of his own sin. So let's try to understand what Jesus meant when he said, we must be born again. Every person in his or her natural condition has a corrupted heart. We came into this world with it. We've got a sin heritage wired into our DNA, traceable all the way back to Adam and Eve. Why do you suppose that we sometimes use and manipulate the very people we love the most, living in our own houses with us? Because of our sin heritage, of course. Why do you suppose that forgiving is really hard? It's because of our sin heritage. And let me tell you something, folks. This applies to you and to me. If all of our lustful and hateful thoughts were printed on the front page of the state newspaper, we would have to leave the state. Now, since our hearts are corrupted by sin, each of us needs a spiritual heart transplant, and God alone performs that kind of surgery. When you're born again, Satan is kicked off the throne of your life and replaced by Jesus Christ. Therefore, when you're born again, you're better than brand new. St. Paul said, if any person is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Many of you are already born again. For many of you, it happened years and years ago. And my message to you is treasure God's work in your life and show your gratitude by growing in maturity as a Christian, in usefulness for Jesus Christ. And I also know that in every congregation, there are people who have not yet been born again. And perhaps God sent you here today for the express purpose of being born again. A new birth can happen to you today if you're humble and repentant and trusting in God. Look with me at our text for the morning, verses 1 and 2 of John chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. This Nicodemus was a prominent religious and political leader. In fact, he was part of this powerful group called the Sanhedrin, 70 top Jewish elders who were given the power from Rome to exercise civil law over the nation of Israel. Not only that, they controlled all of the religious affairs. And this Nicodemus was also a Pharisee. This was the most religious group among the Jews. It's really amazing when you think about it that Nicodemus, who's a member of Who's Who in Jerusalem, would even want to associate with Jesus, because Jesus was considered disreputable by the establishment. He was just a rustic, itinerant, radical preacher. So it's amazing that Nicodemus would want to hang around with Jesus. He came to Jesus by night. Why? Because it would have been politically embarrassing for him to be seen with Jesus in broad daylight. It would be sort of like North Korea's Kim Jong-un consulting the Pope. I think it would do him a lot of good, but it would not look good back home with his communist friends. So with Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by night because it was politically embarrassing, and Jesus did not seem to mind that. Jesus seemed to assume that there are some legitimate things we do that we just as soon would not have publicized. I remember personally such an example. When I was a child, living in upstate South Carolina, my sister and I, both of us quite young, had the whooping cough at the same time. This must have been before the inoculation was required. And our house was a mess. I mean, coughing, hacking, 24 hours a day. Nobody could get any rest in the house. Now, Papa was a Methodist preacher. Someone came to Papa and said, I tell you what will help ease the ailment. If you give your children a mixture of whiskey and honey, it will ease the symptoms. Now, surely there's no more uncomfortable person in the world than a Methodist preacher in a small town looking for a half pint of whiskey. Unless it's a Baptist preacher in a small town looking for a half pint of whiskey. And I guarantee you, if Papa could have known somewhere he could go at night to get that needed item, he would have. He was on an altogether legitimate, noble excursion, but he just as soon preferred that it not be publicized. So it was with Nicodemus. Now notice that Nicodemus addressed Jesus respectfully and acknowledged that what he was doing had to be from God. But in verse 3, Jesus cuts through all the social niceties and says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And notice Jesus prefaces this main statement with the words, "I tell you the truth," or perhaps in your translation is "verily, verily." This was a form of special emphasis. This was Jesus' way of saying, "Now listen up, because something profoundly important is about to be said. You must be born again." In verse 4, Nicodemus replies, "What do you mean, I got to be born again? Surely a person cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." You see, Nicodemus was thinking physically. Jesus was talking spiritually. And therefore, there was a classic miscommunication. And that often happens. I remember an extraordinary one. A businessman was at the Opryland Hotel in Nashville on a corporate convention. And he was also an officer in the corporation. So he was extremely busy making sure that the speakers had everything they needed, making sure that there were rooms for the breakout sessions. He was busy. In fact, he was so busy that it suddenly occurred to him, "I've been here 3 days and I have not communicated with my wife at all." So during a break in the conference, he grabbed his iPhone and whacked out a text message to his wife. He did it quickly and a little too quickly. He left just one letter off, one word, and the message she received, "Dear Joan, having a wonderful time, wish you were her. Love, Bob." Now that kind of miscommunication can get you in a lot of trouble. Well, Jesus and Nicodemus were not communicating. And Jesus was trying to explain, "Look, our first birth made us children of Adam, tainted with sin, deserving God's wrath. And no amount of education or discipline can change the old nature. Our only hope is to receive a new nature from God." And in verses 5 and 6, Jesus gives more explanation. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. The Spirit gives birth to spirit." Now, what did Jesus mean by water and the Spirit? Well, the mention of water would have reminded Nicodemus and all those other Jews of John the Baptist down there at the Jordan River baptizing people in the water as a sign of repentance. And so water represents repentance, and repentance is certainly a necessary prerequisite for being born again. But the real emphasis here is not on water, but on spirit. And that's especially appropriate today, Pentecost Sunday, when we remember the time when Jesus showered the infant church with the power of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, "I baptize with water, but somebody is coming after me who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." The real heavy lifting in the born again experience is done by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the obstetrician of new births. Now, I suspect that at that point, Nicodemus had a puzzled look on his face. And so Jesus looked around for an illustration. And perhaps at that very moment, the wind was rustling the leaves on the nearby trees. And so Jesus said, "Nicodemus, think about the wind. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everybody who is born of the Spirit. Because you see, like the wind, there is a sovereign spontaneity about the work of the Holy Spirit. New birth cannot be manipulated or programmed by anybody. It's the work of God. And it's different for every person. Sometimes the experience of new birth is sudden. You can name the day and the hour when it happened. For other people, it's gradual. Over a period of maybe several years, I was born again. For some people, it's an emotional experience. They want to shout, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." For others, the experience is as tranquil and quiet as a sunset. God works differently and uniquely with every person. The reason I never declare anybody hopeless, I'm talking about the worst criminal in the world. I never declare any person hopeless because I know that the Holy Spirit can move in the most unlikely places and the most unlikely of people. Let me give you an example. The Marion Correctional Institution in Marion, Indiana is a maximum security prison housing the worst criminals in Indiana. There has been a man there for years who is the unofficial leader of the inmates. His name is Al. He was convicted of murder and sentenced to life without parole. He's the unofficial leader inside the prison because he's the meanest, most brutal human being in the prison. Sometime back, some other inmate tried to mention Christianity to him, and he beat the man almost to death. That's Al. Absolutely filled with hate and anger. The warden of the Marion Correctional Institution happens to be a United Methodist woman. Several years ago, she decided to allow the Kairos Prison Ministry to sponsor a weekend seminar in her facility. Somehow, incredibly, miraculously, Al attended and was profoundly converted. Today, he is the official leader of the Christian movement within that prison. I can't explain to you how that happened. I know it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, our church is getting ready to sponsor a Kairos weekend this fall at the Broad River Correctional Institution. And we need volunteers. And if you're interested, Dick Thompson and Martin Weinrich would be happy to talk with you about that. Jesus said you must be born again. This means you cannot be saved on your parents' faith or your church attendance record or your good conduct medals, though you cannot make new birth happen. You can place yourself in the bullseye of God's grace by taking three simple steps. First, admit to God you're a sinner and you can't fix it yourself. And if you're not sure you're a sinner, ask your spouse. And if you don't have a spouse, ask a really honest friend. Second, believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for the sins of all believers of all generations. Now, I know that's hard to get your mind around. It's hard to understand how one man, even the Son of God, could take on the penalty for sin of all believers of all generations. It's bigger than our minds can get around, but that's not a problem. It doesn't matter as long as you get your heart around it. As long as you believe personally that He died for your sins. And if you believe that, then in gratitude, you'll want to take the third step. In gratitude, invite the living Christ to rule in your heart. If you take those three simple steps, you will place yourself in the bullseye of God's grace, and God will not disappoint you. Jesus said, "He who comes to me, I will not turn away." Let me close with a modern parable. One Sunday afternoon, a little boy was bored because it was raining outside, had to be inside. His dad wanted to take a nap on the couch, but the little fella kept pestering him. So the father had an idea. He saw in the newspaper a full-page map of the world. So he took some scissors and he cut that map into a whole lot of smaller, irregular shapes pieces, a puzzle. Jumbled them all up and gave them to the little boy and said, "Now, this is a map of the world. I want you to put it together and don't wake me up until you're finished." Father turned over on the couch, figured it'd take the kid about an hour. 10 minutes later, little fellow's tugging on his sleeve. I finished it, Dad. Dad got up off the couch and was amazed to see it was done perfectly. He said, son, how in the world did you do it so quickly? Little fellow said, it was easy, Dad, because on the other side of the page, there was a picture of a man. And when I got the man together right, the world was right too. Wow, there's a profound truth there. When through the miracle of new birth, God gets a person right, the world around him is different and a whole lot better. Have you been born again? If the answer is yes, then rejoice and show your gratitude by growing in maturity and usefulness to Christ. If the answer is no, today could be your new spiritual birthday. I want you to take one of these cards from the card rack in front of you. It's got new birth written on it. Yeah, just take it out and look at it. It says, today I've taken the 3 steps suggested by Dr. Balknight to place myself in the bullseye of God's grace, trusting that God will make today a spiritual birthday for me. We're about to sing a great hymn, Victory in Jesus. And this would be a great time to come and spend a few moments at this altar. You know, this is holy ground. If you've experienced new life in Christ at some point in your life, even years ago, I'm going to urge you to slip down here and kneel or stand for a few moments just to say, thank you, Jesus. There may be others who are seeking that new life in Christ. And if you've taken those 3 steps that I suggested in my message, you are right in the bullseye of God's grace. I'm going to invite you to kneel or stand a few moments here and say, Lord, make me a new person. And he will. After the congregation finishes singing, I'm going to invite them to be seated, but Luke's going to continue to play as long as anybody wants to come to this altar. If you sign one of those cards today, I urge you to either leave it on the chancel rail or hand it to one of our worship leaders. And if you want somebody to pray with you, just lift your hand. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, bring to this table today every person whose heart you are touching. For those who have placed themselves in the bullseye of your grace, make this a spiritual birthday. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let us stand as Jack comes forward to lead us in victory in Jesus. And this altar is open, and I invite you to come.